This is Jay Sekulow. We're in federal court. The issue, the crisis pregnancy centers and their ability to fulfill their mission.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
There will always be people, many of goodwill, who do not share my view on the issue of choice. On this fundamental issue, I will not yield, and Planned Parenthood will not yield.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. A little bit later in the broadcast, we're going to be joined by two of our senior counsel. CeCe Heil will be discussing these cases we've got involving crisis pregnancy centers under attack in New York and Baltimore. These centers provide valuable services to women with crisis pregnancies. But now they're being compelled to violate their conscience, to talk about abortion, things that they don't want to practice, yet the government's compelling them to speak about them. And if they don't do that type of speech that they don't want to engage in, the penalty? They will be out of their ministry. The ministry will stop. And then we're going to hear from Jeff Surtees, the senior counsel with the ACLJ. Employers, whether it's nonprofit or for-profit employers, being told that they must fund in their insurance plans abortifacients and abortions. And you're saying, how could that be? Well, it's part of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, because HHS, that's Health and Human Services, issued a mandate. But I want to give you a sense, before we get into those issues, on the frontline fight we're engaged in. We had a movie we put together called Choosing Life that talks about the abortion issue and the history of the pro-life movement. Take a listen.
Good evening. In a landmark ruling, the Supreme Court today legalized abortions.
And there was no national outcry in the case. The church was significantly asleep at the switch, but so were the American people.
In the mid-80s, we were starting to look for ways to really engage the church in practical ways to get involved.
So I'm praying, and many of these pastors are praying, that Christians will, for lack of a better word, just get mad.
A judge can use his raw power to try to stifle the movement, but God has raised up a move of his spirit here that no man can stand against.
Yeah, a little bit more than somewhat of an activist. We went right to the front lines.
It was just a simple looking at scripture, loving my neighbor as myself. Who is my neighbor and how do I love them?
We utilized the criminal procedure to protect our client. And the other side, the pro-choice group, was not used to Christian lawyers doing that. And we did it aggressively.
Well, we turned on CNN, and it was already playing on the news.
The most joyous day of his life, and now the first thing in the morning.
Good morning.
Operation Rescue, please come down to testify in federal court.
The First Amendment protected their right to engage in protest, even to the Democratic nominee for President of the United States.
We're going to see if free speech still stays free in New York City. They're praying on this sidewalk doing what they've been doing this morning. Will you arrest them for doing that?
1,500 cases in Atlanta.
What is it, only politically correct speech gets to happen?
We punched a hole in hell, and the demons came out.
You don't fuck my clinics, I'll fuck your church!
And it could get pretty nasty. I was punched.
We were spit on.
I was urinated on.
Clubbed.
Cigarettes put out in our hair.
It goes on and on, because for the first time since 73, I think the pro-choice movement recognized, oh my gosh, this is something really serious.
By the way, that movie is available if you contact us at aclj.org or call us at 1-877-989-2255, and you can get portions of that trailer downloaded as well. We'll have that on the homepage at aclj.org. Folks, we're going into a break. We want to get you to sign on to a brief we're filing at the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals on the crisis pregnancy centers. The specific issue is their ability not to be compelled to speak out words like abortion referrals that they don't want to engage in. That is going to impact their ministry. If you want to sign that brief, and we really need your help, go to aclj.org. Let's make sure these crisis pregnancy centers can do their job. aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Back with more in just a moment.
A national assault is underway. Planned Parenthood and pro-abortion legislators are targeting pro-life pregnancy centers in cities across America, passing unconstitutional laws designed to shut down these pro-life centers or force them to adopt and express views about abortion that they strongly disagree with. The ACLJ is on the front lines protecting the constitutional free speech rights of pro-life pregnancy centers. We've just completed oral arguments before a federal appeals court in a critical ACLJ case in New York City. Now, the ACLJ is preparing to file a significant amicus brief backing a pro-life lawsuit that is challenging a troubling law in Baltimore. This is the time to stand up for life. Add your name to our amicus brief in the Baltimore case. The move to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers by using unconstitutional laws is very real and must not succeed. Make a difference. Add your name to our brief today. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Life is beautiful, but it's complicated. We
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've turned our attention for the rest of this week onto a major domestic issue, and that is the issue of abortion. Over the next several days, you're going to be hearing from a number of our senior lawyers working on the front lines defending life. And it's going to come up in a variety of contexts, everything from going after Planned Parenthood as far as cases that we've got against them for fraud, as well as, and this is significant also, the attempt by groups like Planned Parenthood and NARAL and others to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers. These are crisis pregnancy centers. You've seen them in communities throughout the United States. This has been a major and national effort that's been going on over the last several years. I want to get CeCe Howell, senior attorney here at the ACLJ, on the phone right now with us to talk about this, because CeCe, we've got a major case, obviously, in New York City. There's other cases we've been involved in where we're filing briefs in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals out of Baltimore. Let's talk about the issue first, though. What is it that groups like NARAL and these others and the cities are trying to do, these crisis pregnancy centers? And I think first, to set everybody up on what we're really talking about here, let's talk about what a crisis pregnancy center actually does.
Yes, crisis pregnancy centers, and as a lot of people will recognize them as CPCs, are usually Christian centers across the nation that offer free services to women who are pregnant or think they might be pregnant. And a lot of times that's counseling or a free ultrasound. All of their services are free and available to any woman who's pregnant or think they might be pregnant.
So these are centers. You see them throughout the United States. They operate by usually concerned Christian groups, churches. They provide basic referral services as well. I understand that they'll refer to adoption agencies if it's necessary, or to if the women are in crisis and need financial assistance, they'll even work on that. So what is it that these groups are doing that's got the groups like NARAL and Planned Parenthood so upset? And let's talk specifically right now about New York City.
NARAL and Planned Parenthood have tried this as a concerted effort across the United States. But in New York City, they passed a bill that limits what crisis pregnancy centers, or what they call them in New York, or pregnancy service centers, they actually limit their speech or compel their speech that when they're providing these services, they have to make these disclaimers. And that's on, if it's a billboard that says, you know, pregnant, scared, need help, call. Now they have a list of services or disclaimers that they have to put on in English and Spanish on that if someone calls in.
People need to understand, under the First Amendment, you cannot compel that kind of speech. I mean, that's the argument we've made, which, by the way, the district court agreed with and issued an injunction in our favor. We'll get into that in a moment. But let's take a step back here. So they have these compelled speech requirements, and I guess the idea here is by making them say certain things, people will be less likely to call the Crisis Pregnancy Center.
That is absolutely right. They have to make these statements whether they do or do not have a licensed medical provider on staff, whether they do or do not refer for abortion or provide abortion or emergency.
So they would have to actually say, we do not provide for abortion and abortion services.
Yes.
Yeah, which is that's the reason why, folks, we're in court on this, because this is outrageous. Compelling crisis pregnancy centers to even utter the word abortion is seems to be ridiculous. Okay, so what's been the reaction? And do we know where this is coming from, Cece? Because this idea that the speech here is protected makes perfect sense. We've had a number of courts agree with us on this. Where is this opposition coming from?
The opposition, like I said earlier, NARAL and Planned Parenthood have a concerted effort. There's literally a document that they have put out that tells pro-abortion advocates how to attack crisis pregnancy centers.
Is the idea with this manual that you've have you actually seen the manual yourself?
Yes, I have.
All right, so we've got this manual that's saying this is the way to close down a crisis pregnancy center, and the reason they want this is obviously they want to perform more abortions.
That is correct. And really they're targeting two crisis pregnancy centers that provide ultrasounds, because they know when a woman who's pregnant sees an ultrasound, typically I think it's 80% or more of the time they change their decision to have an abortion.
So they know the effect, and by the way, we've known this for a long time, folks, that when a woman sees the unborn child in utero through an ultrasound, the chances of an abortion drop, as Cece said, 80% decide not to have an abortion, which is a huge number. So this is, are they viewing this as competition? I mean, we know that they are in this pro-abortion agenda, but is that where this is coming out?
I think it does all boil down to money. They are in direct competition, and when women go into these pregnancy service centers and they get, you know, counseling and kind advice, and if they need, you know, diapers or whatever they need, they get there. So it really, I think, boils down to then the abortion providers aren't seeing as many women walk through their doors.
All right, let's take a look at what's exactly going on now. So in the cases in New York, and obviously, folks, this is a national problem because this is going to impact the rest of the country. In New York, we've actually filed a lawsuit. Let's talk about that lawsuit. What did we allege and what has happened so far?
We've alleged that the law in New York violates the plaintiff's freedom of speech because it compels them to speak a message that they wouldn't otherwise speak.
And that's the message about abortion and abortion providing, and obviously there's a crisis pregnancy centers that are not providing abortions, and they don't want to be put in the position where they're compelled to say anything about the abortion industry. So this, we challenged this in federal court. What happens?
The district court judge granted our injunction, and therefore the law did not go into effect.
So the law in New York has never, I want everybody to understand there, folks, your ACLJ team went to court, went to federal court, and the law never got into effect because we were able to get an injunction. But now it's at the Second Circuit.
Yes, it is at the Second Circuit. The city appealed, and so we have oral arguments scheduled for Friday of this week, where we will again argue that the law in fact does violate our clients' freedom of speech.
There is a real possibility, folks, that these cases, because there's another one we're going to talk about in a moment in the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, that's a case out of Baltimore, these cases could well end up at the Supreme Court of the United States. Let's turn our attention to the Baltimore situation. Friends of ours at the Alliance Defense Fund filed a lawsuit there. We're filed an amicus brief. They initially got the injunction, again, very similar statute, correct?
Yes.
All right, so they got the injunction, but difficulty at the Fourth Circuit. Let's talk about what happened there.
Yes, they granted actually a summary judgment there in the Fourth Circuit, and a permanent injunction was granted. Then they appealed and actually won on appeal on a 2-1 decision of a 3-panel judge on appeal. And now,
so the law was, again, in Baltimore. That law at that point could not go into effect. 2-1 decision out of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. Folks, that's a court. Those are the courts right below the Supreme Court of the United States. But they've now asked the entire Fourth Circuit to hear the case, and my understanding is the Fourth Circuit has said they will.
The Fourth Circuit has granted the en banc hearing, yes.
Yeah, so this is the difficulty. So we've got a case now at the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that we're going to be filing a brief in, folks, on behalf of the Crisis Pregnancy Centers. Friends of ours are handling this case. We're filing an amicus brief. We're all working, obviously, very closely together on this. It's a big effort because this is a national issue. They are looking at this in other states as well. So, folks, we want you to be on this brief. And to do that, you simply call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to get on this brief defending the ability of these crisis pregnancy centers to exist and to fulfill their mission. Again, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Cece, let me ask you this. One of the concerns we have when you got that manual showing how to do this across the country, that we're not going to just be talking about Baltimore, we're not going to just be talking about New York City. This has got national implications.
Yes, it does, and we've seen it pop up in other states and have been successful at even the government stage of shutting it down where it doesn't even get passed. But they're targeting the more liberal areas, and where they have, just like in New York City, a liberal city council, they're pushing it through in order, I think, to just set precedent.
Sure. I know there was a couple of them that we were able to get basically stopped in process because they couldn't get them through the cities. Where were those?
Washington State was one, Virginia, I think, was another one, and California is one that is still going on.
Yeah, so that's in process right now, so we're engaged in those to fight. Well, Cece, appreciate the update. Keep us posted next week as the oral arguments will take place on Friday. Give us a report on Monday.
Okay, I sure will.
Very good. Thanks. Cece Hile, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Folks, we're taking a break. When we come back, we're going to get more updates on these cases. But we're fighting for these crisis pregnancy centers, and that's where you come in. The number is 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. If you want to stand for these crisis pregnancy centers' ability to fulfill their mission and to speak out, then it's time for you to take action. Go to ACLJ.org. You can sign that brief or simply call us at 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. What we're doing is filing an amicus brief, a friend of the court brief, with the Fourth Circuit, and we want as many people on it as we can. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
A national assault is underway. Planned Parenthood and pro-abortion legislators are targeting pro-life pregnancy centers in cities across America, passing unconstitutional laws designed to shut down these pro-life centers or force them to adopt and express views about abortion that they strongly disagree with. The ACLJ is on the front lines protecting the constitutional free speech rights of pro-life pregnancy centers. We've just completed oral arguments before a federal appeals court in a critical ACLJ case in New York City. Now the ACLJ is preparing to file a significant amicus brief backing a pro-life lawsuit that is challenging a troubling law in Baltimore. This is the time to stand up for life. Add your name to our amicus brief in the Baltimore case. The move to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers by using unconstitutional laws is very real and must not succeed. Make a difference. Add your name to our brief today. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online aclj.org. The release of Pastor Youssef Nardakhani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We just had CeCe Heil on talking about these crisis pregnancy centers. And by the way, we're filing that brief on the 24th of September, so I want to encourage you to go to your phones right now and sign on to that brief defending and protecting these crisis pregnancy centers. You can do that by going to aclj.org or simply calling us at 877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Jeff Surtees is a senior counsel for the ACLJ. And Jeff, we've been talking about some of our pro-life cases. I want to get an update from you on a couple that you're working on. Number one, of course, is the major cases that we've got on these HHS mandates. Let's talk about those. Set the stage for what we're dealing with here.
We have a case pending right now in St. Louis, Missouri, the federal court there, challenging the HHS mandate. As you know, Jay, the HHS mandate requires that employers include abortion-inducing drugs, sterilization, and contraception in employee health plans, whether or not the employer has a religious objection to it. There are currently over 20 lawsuits involving more than 50 plaintiffs in federal courts across the country challenging this HHS mandate. The ACLJ, we have a case out in St. Louis, and we've just filed a motion for a preliminary injunction in that case. And there we would be asking the court to tell the federal government you cannot apply the HHS mandate to our client until we get to a full resolution on the merits of this action. There has been a preliminary injunction issued in a case out in Colorado and a case out in Pennsylvania. The plaintiffs there have just filed a motion for a preliminary injunction.
Let's take a step back here, Jeff. This all emanates basically from the Affordable Care Act and its progeny, so to speak.
That's exactly right. Obamacare mandated that employers include preventative services in employee health plans, but it didn't define what those preventative services were or are. It wasn't until last August that the Department of Health and Human Services defined what those preventative services are, and they are abortion-inducing drugs, contraception, and sterilization. Now, when the administration promulgated the definition of preventative services, it also said that religious employers would not have to comply with this. Well, that may sound like a good idea. Religious employers don't have to comply. But they defined religious employer so narrowly that it only exempts churches. It only exempts institutions like monasteries or convents. It doesn't apply to Notre Dame University, that is challenged.
Right. I mean, I was going to say, universities are being required to do it. Hospitals are being required to do this. And folks, and you're basically, this is what this law has done, despite the protests from the president saying it was not about abortion and abortifacients. Well, that's exactly what it ends up being about. But there's a compelled nature to this, Jeff, where these employers are being compelled to violate their conscience.
That's exactly right. They are being compelled under pain of financial punishments. They are being compelled to violate their conscience. In our own case of O'Brien versus Department of Health and Human Services, we have a Catholic employer that says, as a Catholic, I cannot participate in, fund, or subsidize these types of activities because they violate my religious beliefs. The Department of Justice simply doesn't care. They're saying that it doesn't matter that you may have religious beliefs as a business owner. Business owners have no right of the free exercise of religion, the Department of Justice argues. And so this is the position that the Department of Justice is taking in these cases, that a for-profit business owner has to leave his religion at home, that religion is not something that should guide his business, that should dictate how he runs his business. Now, O'Brien is clear that he doesn't hire people based on his religious beliefs, but he shouldn't be compelled to have to pay for drugs and activities and services that violate his religious beliefs.
You know, we've often talked about the abortion distortion factor, and just in putting this in context, I mean, we just had CeCe Heil on talking about the fact that these crisis pregnancy centers are being compelled to engage in speech they disagree with. Now we've got employers being compelled to fund through their insurance premiums and insurance benefits, employee benefits, practices, abortifacients, and so forth that they find offensive. And this is that abortion distortion, Jeff, that's like all the rules change because the topic is abortion or related to abortion.
That's exactly right. And it just goes to show that abortion ideologues don't just want abortion on demand. They want to demand that others participate and pay for that abortion. And that's the line that has been crossed in all of these cases, in the CPC cases and in the HHS mandate cases as well. It's not as though they just simply want women to have access to abortion services. They want the government to pay for abortion services. They want private employers to pay for abortion services. And if we allow them to get away with this, who knows what's coming down the pike? Are Catholic hospitals, Baptist hospitals, Jewish hospitals going to have to start performing surgical abortions on their premises because of a dictate from the federal government? We have to fight this battle for religious freedom.
All right, so this is a huge battle for religious freedom and freedom of conscience. And let's say, how is it shaping up, Jeff? You talked about there's, you know, dozens of these cases out there. We're involved in several. How is it shaping up? What's it looking like right now in the courts?
Well, right now, for the nonprofit institutions that are suing the government, the religious hospitals, the religious colleges and universities and so forth, those are being dismissed. Well, at least three of them have been dismissed so far on technical grounds only. And they've been dismissed because the government, quite frankly, is moving the goalposts. They keep changing the rules. And because they keep changing the rules, they're convincing federal courts to say, you know, we're going to dismiss this case until these rules are finalized. With respect to the for-profit businesses, those cases are going full steam ahead. We have a preliminary injunction motion pending. That will be briefed in a matter of a few weeks, and we'll get a hearing on that. And we hope and pray that we will get a successful ruling on that. And then there's a case out in Colorado. That the preliminary injunction has been granted there. So the for-profit cases are looking very good at this moment.
Yeah, which is interesting because you would also think, I know there's a technical standing issue in some of these with the not-for-profits, but the idea that a Catholic hospital or the Baptist hospital would be compelled to violate their conscience in the services they provide is just absolutely outrageous. But I think it's important to underscore here, Jeff, that we are fighting the United States government here. It is the Department of Justice. It's the Obama administration's Department of Justice that's pushing this agenda forward.
That's exactly right, Jay. You know, you and I have been involved in a lot of these cases where a county or a city or even a state have done things to violate religious freedom. Here we are talking about the national government. Never before has the national government on such a widespread level sought to undermine and to violate the religious freedom of so many people and institutions and groups.
What is your sense or what is your feeling on where these cases go and where they end up?
Mitt Romney has pledged that if he becomes president of the United States, he will fix this mandate issue on day one. If that doesn't change and these cases, and President Obama is reelected and these cases go forward, I think that these cases are going to end up before the United States Supreme Court, Jay, because they're pending in so many different cases. We're going to get different rulings from the courts of appeal, and we're going to have the Supreme Court intervene here to give us a final and definitive ruling.
And boy, the same thing's true with these crisis pregnancy centers and these mandated speech provisions. They well could end up at the Supreme Court of the United States as well. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the update on this, and thanks for your hard work on these cases and so many others. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Jay.
All right, Jeff Surtees, senior counsel for the ACLJ. Folks, in just a few moments, you have heard, literally in 30 minutes, you've heard of two major cases, more than two cases, probably a dozen cases, representing two major issues: crisis pregnancy centers being compelled to speak out against their conscience, and hospitals and medical facilities and universities and business owners being compelled to fund insurance programs that include abortion. And we're fighting the Department of Justice in that one as well. So, folks, what we want to do right now is we're filing this brief, though, with the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit on behalf of these crisis pregnancy centers so they have the ability to fulfill their mission. I need your help on this. We want you on this brief. Your name on this brief is very, very important. This committee, you will be part of the change. 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that brief. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We'll talk to you next time.
The
The ACLJ is preparing to file a significant amicus brief backing a pro-life lawsuit that's challenging a troubling law in Baltimore. This is the time to stand up for life. Add your name to our amicus brief in the Baltimore case. The move to shut down pro-life pregnancy centers by using unconstitutional laws is very real and must not succeed. Make a difference. Add your name to our brief today. Call 1-877-989-2255 or online, aclj.org.